Welcome to this sermon podcast from the Memorial Church on Emmanuel Road in Cambridge, England. The church website can be found at www.cambridgeunitarian.org. My name is Andrew James Brown, and I'm minister to this liberal congregation, and this is my sermon of the 26th of February 2012 called This Life Can Only Be What It Must Be, a meditation for the first Sunday in Lent. As always, the sermon here draws on my own faith and experience, and it's offered to the congregation and to you in this podcast simply as an encouragement to further reflection and thought. It is most certainly not a definitive statement with which you must agree. As my 16th century Polish Socinian forebears said, "Whilst we declare our own opinions, we oppress no one. Let every person enjoy the freedom of their own judgment in religion. Only let it be permitted to us also to exhibit our view of divine things, without injuring and calumniating others." In this spirit, I bid you welcome. Wednesday was, as most of you will know, Ash Wednesday, and so we've now entered the season of Lent. The Lenten season finds its origin in the 40 days Jesus spent in the wilderness before the start of his own ministry. One of the season's chief aims is to provide a way and a space to help a person back into right relationship with the world, with others, everything in it. However, it is important to realise that this season doesn't yield up its fruits if it is entered simply as being a time of intellectual and abstract reflection, because it's a time to be done, a time to be felt. It's a time for a deep, embodied reflection. Spending time in a physical wilderness with the intention of bringing about some kind of deep change in a person is, of course, not a uniquely Christian practice, but one found across cultures and times. But for many moderns, no matter what their culture, it has become increasingly hard to find real physical wildernesses, and this is especially true for those of us who dwell in towns and cities. Consequently, there's come into play various ways by which we can experience some aspects of the embodied wilderness experience, the chief of which is the practice of fasting, not only from certain foods, but also from festivities and habits which a person can see are or have become problematic. Added to the fact of fasting, which is often understood in our own Christian context as expressing the desire to show justice towards oneself, two other practices are also often taken up in Lent with a renewed passion. The first is prayer, understood as being an expression of our desire to show justice towards God. And the second is almsgiving, which is understood as being an expression of our desire to show justice towards our neighbour. Our reading from Isaiah, chapter 58, verses 6 to 12, illustrates eloquently this taking up of something, in this case, just acts, as a key aspect of in what consists a true fast. Isaiah says, "This is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them, and do not hide from relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then, when you call, the Lord will answer, 'Yes, I am here,' he will quickly reply. Remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumours. Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Some of you will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities. Then you will be known as a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes." It is this taking up of which Isaiah speaks, this taking up of something, that I want to speak about today, and I wish to do it for two reasons. The first is the straightforward psychological problem that giving up something can often feel very negative and can encourage us to concentrate, I think, too much on the uncomfortable and sometimes even painful absence of the thing given up. The second reason is that, when understood in a certain way, the act of taking up some activity reveals to us something very primordial about what it is to be a human being. This is something which we all too often forget, and which holds us back from having the authentic and meaningful life we both desire and feel is possible. And though in a second I'm going to start talking about our mortality, and therefore death, it is important to realise that I'm doing this as a way of helping us to live the authentic and meaningful life I've just mentioned. Being a minister of religion myself, an awareness of human mortality and the inevitability of death is, necessarily for me, a daily reality. It comes with the role. But I've come to appreciate that at its best, such an awareness offers us all a way by which we might begin to liberate ourselves from many of the trivialities with which we can all too easily fill our lives. It can alert us to the fact that we would rather not be wasting our time on so many empty gestures and tasks, but on the matter of actually being who we could most fully and meaningfully be, to have, as Jesus promised, our own unique life and to have it abundantly. Today's address is, then, about being wholly who we are, but as we shall see, what it is to be a whole human being, to be wholly who we are, is a great deal odder than we might first imagine. We can begin by thinking about the way we often try to define ourselves. So, for example, in my own mind, I'm often tempted to define who I am by reference to two things, jazz musician and minister. But, as Richard Polt points out, to say I'm essentially the combination of these two things, and nothing else, would be to eliminate my freedom to choose what I'm going to make of myself in the days, weeks, and years to come. The important thing to observe here is that even if I continue to be a jazz musician and minister, I am not just these things, but a chooser. Now, because I'm a chooser, I, nor you, nor anyone, I cannot be grasped as a whole and finished thing, because one is always constituted to be opened to future possibility and change. But, you might be tempted to say, at the moment I die, which is the end of my being and possibilities in this world, and just in passing, I speak not at all today about anything other than this life in this world. I'm really just talking about my being and possibilities in this world. So, we might be tempted to say, at the moment I die, when all my being and possibilities in this world sort of cease, do I then finally become a whole? But that feels very odd indeed, wrong in fact, to say that we are complete only when we no longer exist. This gives us a clue that what it is to be whole as a human being, to be whole as a human being, is quite unique and extraordinary, because it is to do with, on the one hand, the realisation of possibilities. I choose, and at the moment still choose, to be a musician and minister, and not, say, an insurance broker. And on the other hand, the elimination of all possibilities. I know that one day I will die. So to be a whole human being is about a certain way of having possibilities, in which these possibilities are limited. It's also important to see in this that for us, mortality is an ongoing condition. It's not a one-time event. Mortality is for us as living beings not an actual happening, but always a possibility that lies at the heart of our existence. It, and all other possibilities, like being an insurance broker, only collapse to zero at our death, the ultimate limit of our own individual human possibility. But of course at that point, this can no longer be of concern to me or us, since we will no longer exist. Now we can touch directly upon the Lenten theme of this address, and the taking up of things rather than the giving up of them. Because once you've understood that mortality must be understood as a possibility that belongs to human life, one needs an authentic response to it. And all authentic human existence involves facing up to mortality, not by worrying about when our demise may come, but by accepting the limitation of our possibilities, and then choosing how to live in the light of this limitation. Well, here I can leave behind Polt's words admirably clear. He's a wonderful writer. I can leave Polt's insightful ideas behind and return to George Kimmick Beach's parable of the bowl and the pitcher, which I used in a different context a couple of weeks ago. Here it is. He said, "As a potter, you form a lump of clay. You make many decisions, exercising your freedom both consciously and instinctively to one end, a finished ceramic. The original decision in pottery making is not unlike the original decision in faith, or in the context I'm talking about now, life. Once a direction is set, soon it will be too late to change your mind. Choosing a bowl excludes a pitcher. Now choices are being made within an ever-narrowing range. Necessity is closing in on the maker. But this is the miracle of creation. A reversal is also in progress. For the embrace of necessity gives birth to a greater freedom. With each new choice, new, more refined choices arise. Creative freedom is growing exponentially. The perfect end to the exercise of freedom is perfect necessity. We think, this bowl, or this life, can only be what it must be." So to be wholly who we are is to be able and prepared to choose a possibility and have the courage to let others die away. To choose the possibility of a bowl is to let die the possibility of a pitcher. When I chose fully to follow the possibility of becoming a jazz musician, I let die the possibility of my becoming an orchestral double bass player. When I chose fully to follow the possibility of becoming a Unitarian and Free Christian minister, I let die the possibility of my becoming an Anglican priest. When I chose fully to follow the possibility of marrying Susanna, I let die the possibility of marrying any other woman. Now, this is not to judge or see as second-rate pitchers, orchestral musicians, Anglicans, or all other women, or any of the other possibilities I may have at times chosen to pursue, but simply to say that in order to be wholly and authentically who I could be, I had to accept the limitation of my possibilities, and had to choose how to live in the light of this limitation. And though, as with every life, it's at times been far from a bundle of laughs, I continue to feel that this life, my life, can only be what it must be, and for this I'm profoundly grateful. But your life, any human life, can only be felt to be whole in the way I have been pointing to, when we are prepared fully to take up certain possibilities, and be equally prepared to let others die away. In Lent, we practice this kind of letting die, so that we can begin, or continue to live lives, that show up to us and others as being authentic, meaningful, whole, and abundant. And this year my own choice is to take up the possibility of drinking water for 40 days, and to let die away other drinking, mostly beer and the occasional gin and tonic and single malt. I do it in part for straightforward health reasons. Like a lot of middle-class people in the UK today, I think I'm drinking a tad too much. But the real driver for me is that I fear that I do not always use water as mindfully as I should, an especially pressing issue since we in the UK are currently facing up to a serious drought. Water for all is a step towards justice for all, and I feel I need to experience the sanctity of water more than I do at present. I'm encouraging you in this sermon to take something up in this fashion. It doesn't have to be the one that I've taken up. But what I want us to see as we do this is that in Lent we are brought face to face with the strange fact that to choose one possibility and to let another die away is not to be diminished, but to be helped towards a sense of wholeness. And only through this process can we have the hope that we will be able daily to say to ourselves that this, my life, can only be what it must be, to give grateful thanks for that, and be encouraged better to play our part in helping others to be able to say the same of their own lives.